Let's Talk with a Purpose, Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. I'm John DeMasi. We bring in the one and only Seth Grossman, and I know he has a lot to talk about today, especially the pilot plan. How'd you make out, Seth?
We did good, but first on the problem with America in losing wars, we were actually discussing this last week about why America has not won a war since 1945. And it's a deeper problem than just Biden and Trump. The whole culture of our military has been to reward mediocrity and to punish anyone who wants to achieve the mission. And so it's not just that we bungled the evacuation from Afghanistan a year or two ago, but the fact that there were no hearings held at the time. Nobody was held accountable. Nobody was fired. Nobody had their career ruined. Everybody got their pensions and promotions. And we lost two wars in Iraq. We were in Afghanistan for 20 years. We never captured Osama bin Laden until 10 years later when it really didn't matter. We let all the top leaders escape even though we had them surrounded. Again, we lost Vietnam. We lost two wars in Iraq. So why is that? There's a very good author, a military historian, called Thomas E. Ricks, R-I-C-K-S. And he wrote a book called The Generals, but he also did a very good video presentation that's on YouTube called Why America Was More Successful in World War II. It's linked. It's posted on our libertyandprosperity.com website. But if anyone wants to get it, it's probably one of the best hours you could spend to watch that presentation, and it becomes crystal clear how our military has disintegrated at the top. I mean, we have the bravest, best-trained soldiers following orders, but the people giving those orders really are not leaders, and there's a reason for that. So we have that going on. We have the big problem with inflation, and it's interesting because what is causing inflation? Well, obviously, if the government is spending $1 trillion more than it's taking in, and it's just printing up fake dollars to pay people that doesn't represent any value, that nothing was produced for it, that's going to cause inflation. If you have the government require every corporation in America to spend, you know, enormous amounts of money to hire people for diversity, equity, and inclusion and follow all these regulations that produce nothing, that's going to make everything more expensive. And if you stop producing oil or nuclear power and make us use those wind turbines and solar panels, which really just don't work, you're going to make energy more expensive. So it's those three things make everything more expensive. But if you listen to the news or watch TV, they'll make it sound like whether the Federal Reserve puts interest rate here or interest rate there, like that's going to make a difference. And it doesn't make a difference. That's just playing, you know, like rearranging the deck chairs in a Titanic. The real problem is printing worthless money, forcing businesses to spend more money on political things and production things, and, of course, making energy too expensive. So these are all this stuff is posted at libertyandprosperity.com.
Well, now I can ask you the question. How'd you make out with the pilot?
Well, surprisingly well. I went up to Trenton Wednesday to argue the pilot program. And, of course, that means a special pilot. It means payment in lieu of taxes, where the casinos pay a lower rate instead of regular real estate taxes for schools, for local government, for county government, and everybody else pays more. And so I had low expectations because the appeals court did not collect the taxes from the casinos right away. It put a stay on it until the argument was heard, and it took them a year and a half to finally hear the argument last Wednesday. However, based on the questions that all three judges were asking, they really put the state's attorney on the hot seat and were very, very sympathetic to my argument for libertyandprosperity.com. So I bet we have a 50-50 chance of winning this thing, something I would not have told you last week.
When are they going to make a decision?
probably in about 4 to 6 weeks, but again, it took him a year to hear the argument.
Yeah.
So I don't know if time is on the essence over there, but let me just give some of the background, because it was like a walk down memory lane doing those arguments. So of course the casinos get a tax break. Everybody else is in Atlantic County is forced to pay more. So how did taxes get so high that even the casinos couldn't afford to pay them? And that goes right back to our dear friend, former Republican Governor Chris Christie, because when Atlantic City hit hard times in 2010, and when you had the competition from the table games in Philadelphia, you had the housing bubble collapse, the Wall Street crisis. So the economy was lousy, and Atlantic City lost two-thirds of its business and two-thirds of its tax revenue. And Atlantic City couldn't make payroll in 2010 for its city government. And so Governor Christie had the state take over Atlantic City in October of 2010. And in a normal world, Christie would say, okay, Atlantic City, you lost two-thirds of your tax income. It's illegal for cities to run at a deficit. There's a balanced budget law, and so you're going to have to cut your spending to match what you're not collecting in taxes. But when Christie came in 2010 and took over, instead of complying with the law, instead of forcing the Atlantic City government to spend less money, he did just the opposite. He increased the local spending from $206 million a year to $262 million a year. And what he did is he completely violated local budget law, something that at one time people were put in prison for. And so Atlantic City ran 7 years running deficits, illegal deficits for operating expenses of about $50 or $60 million a year. So at the end of, by 2017, Atlantic City was $400 million in debt for a city of 42,000 people. So even the casinos couldn't pay the taxes. So why did Christie do that? And the answer is obvious, because for 7 years, Christie was running for president. And the guy he was running against at the time was a Republican governor in Wisconsin called Scott Walker, who was being attacked by the Democrats and the labor unions for cutting spending, balancing the budget, and protecting taxpayers. So Christie wanted to say, hey, I could get along with unions. I could get along with Democrats. And to do that, he put Atlantic City $400 million in debt. So now that we're in debt, when he stopped running for president in 2016, then he finally cuts the spending of Atlantic City. But then he has this mess he has to clean up. So he made a 10-year plan, which was actually pretty good. He said, we're going to tax the casinos according to their income. And by the way, it was unfair to tax casinos at their construction costs, because as you may recall, the casinos spent far more on this fast track construction to get open real quick. So the casinos complained, tax us on our income, not our, what it cost us to build these buildings. And the state went along. And actually, when the casinos started doing that, the casino industry recovered. You had the online gambling, they had the sports betting gambling, and we were actually on the way to fixing the problem. Until 2 years ago, when the casinos got greedy and they said, we don't want to be have the income from online gaming and sports betting count in valuing our property anymore. So they got a big decrease. Everybody else got a big increase. And that goes against the New Jersey Constitution, which says everybody has to be taxed at the same rate. So it was interesting, the argument, the judges pointed out that there's no reason not to include online gambling or sports betting, because the only people who are allowed to go in that business are people, businesses that have licensed casinos in Atlantic City. So the judges repeatedly pointed out to the Attorney General, what's the difference between people, gambling in an Atlantic City casino or people betting online if the server has to physically be located in a casino in Atlantic City? So I think we have a 50-50 chance of winning this thing.
Well, that sounds good. It really does. Your argument is really well said. I think you're going to win. I do. You know.
So I left Trenton feeling good, and I felt like, of course, we weren't doing this to defend, you know, who pays more or who pays less in taxes. Liberty and Prosperity is a liberty group, and we believe in the New Jersey State Constitution, which was basically passed in 1844. And by the way, one of the framers of that Constitution was the same Jonathan Pitney who built the railroad that created Atlantic City. And the reason they put this new Constitution is New Jersey had a problem with debt and out-of-control corruption. So to fix that problem, they made a new Constitution that, number one, said it would be difficult for politicians to borrow money because they would have to get a vote of the people to borrow any money. And number two, that all laws and taxes that the state government would pass would have to apply equally to everybody. And it was a very common sense approach because they said, look, we're not going to stop politicians from being corrupt, but if we could stop politicians from giving special deals to special people that they like and using special laws to punish people they don't like, that's a good way to keep the government honest and limit corruption. And for 100 years, we had a good government in New Jersey, and we really were a state of liberty and prosperity. And all that stuff started to unravel in the 1960s when the progressives said, let's give a special deal to the veterans, let's give a special deal to the senior citizens, let's give a special deal to the farmers, let's give a special deal to people who want to redevelop real estate. And so to get this special treatment for the casinos, you know what the legal technicality that the state used?
What's
they,
that?
They declared that the casinos were blighted areas in need of redevelopment. They made a whole joke of our Constitution, and that's something else I had to deal with.
A blighted area. Where is that?
Yeah. You look at the Water Club. You look at the Tropicana.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, so there I was. I was feeling really good about defending the Constitution. That was on Wednesday. And then what happens on Thursday? On Thursday, of course, the headlines are everybody is praising Atlantic City Mayor Marty Small and Governor Phil Murphy for saving the air show in Atlantic City. And it's really ironic because the whole idea of liberty and prosperity, the whole idea of Constitution, is where government treats everybody equally, everybody follows the same rules, and whether you succeed or fail depends on whether you make good choices or bad choices. And if you want the government to pay for something, you raise your taxes to pay for it, and everybody shares equally. So what's the story of the air show? Well, the air show, of course, is Mayor Marty Small saying, I'm a great mayor because I depend on, quote, personal relationships. And so I'm a good friend of the governor, and the governor is a good friend of me. And I said we need $300,000 for this air show. So the governor picks up a phone call, picks up the phone. And we don't know, is he going to call the Economic Development Authority or is he going to call the South Jersey Transportation Authority? Oh, he calls the South Jersey Transportation Authority. They have an extra $300,000. Now we're going to have an air show, and everybody starts clapping. So how many things are wrong with this picture? Remember last week I complained that it almost cost me as much to park at the South Jersey Transportation parking lot as it did to fly back and forth 1,000 miles to West Palm Beach.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that.
Because,
yeah.
That's because it cost me $96 for 8 days. Now, a year and a half ago, it would have cost me $64 because it was $8 a day for parking.
Yeah.
So during the past year and a half, the South Jersey Transportation Authority that runs the Atlantic City Airport raised all the tolls on the expressway. They raised the parking fees from $8 to $12 a day. And why? Well, now we know why. Because it's not because they're making improvements in the airport. It's not because they're doing anything other than creating a slush fund so that whenever the governor needs extra cash, they could write a check and give it to him. And I'm really wondering, I'll probably get lynched when I go into the my meeting that starts at 9:30 and 10:30 and say, okay, we did such a great job on knocking out the tax breaks for the casinos. Why don't we challenge whether it was illegal, you know, to have the South Jersey Transportation Authority, which has no money in its budget for an air show, to suddenly, you know, say we're just going to give $300,000 of cash for the air show. Somehow I don't know if I'll get a good reception there, but it's something worth talking about.
Well, we're going to have Marty Small on at 11 o'clock, so if you if you'd like to call in, feel free to do so.
Ironically, I'm not going to be calling in because another little event, Ralph Hunter, the head of the Atlantic City African American Cultural Museum, invited me. He's having a presentation at noon at their museum, which is right across from Angelo's restaurant in Atlantic City. It's called the Noise Garage. And we're going to be talking about Black history. And I'm going to be handing out the calendars and that Liberty and Prosperity made and talking about Black history. And I'm also going to be talking about something I never talked about before, which raises a very interesting historical issue. When I was on city council in 1987, Benjamin Hooks, the head of the NAACP at the time, came to Atlantic City and wanted to set up a special event to mark the 20th anniversary of the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he wanted to have an event in Atlantic City. So he had all the city councilmen there, and the mayor was there, and we're all talking about where to have it. And Benjamin Hooks, you know, a real true civil rights leader, so he said, well, it's easy. Let's have it at a place in Atlantic City that's named after Martin Luther King. And then everybody was shuffling around embarrassed and had to admit that 20 years after Martin Luther King's death, there was not a single building, street, or park or anything named or dedicated after Martin Luther King. And Benjamin Hooks went absolutely nuts. And I can't even tell you the language he used on everybody. But within a month, we did rename Illinois Avenue Martin Luther King Boulevard, and we did name the West Side Complex after Martin Luther King. But the reason why there was no memorial to Martin Luther King raises some very interesting issues, which I'm going to be discussing at that event at noon today at that African American History Museum.
What are some of the issues? Can you briefly?
Well, the fact is that really the Black community in Atlantic City was so advanced and so self-reliant, in my opinion, I'm going to take it up with some of the historians there, that there wasn't that you didn't have the emphasis on the civil rights movement because our Atlantic City civil rights movement had already succeeded in the 1920s. So the Black community was not focused on what was going on in the 1960s. At least that's my theory. I'm going to test it. Finally, I have one more point about the air show. Do you know how we got the air show in the first place, and you know how much it cost?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay. In 1946, President Truman cut the Navy budget, and he said we didn't need to spend billions of dollars on a big Navy because the war was over, and we had the nuclear bomb, we had air power. Now, Chester Nimitz, who was the commander of the U.S. Navy, was very upset about this and wanted to overrule President Truman's decision to cut his budget. So he created the Blue Angels air circus to go around and tour the country to lobby for the big budget for the Navy. And he would go to all the congressional, all the congressmen who wanted to have an attraction for their district. And he was so successful in getting Congress to overrule Truman and give the Navy all the money they asked for that they kept doing it year by year. And then the Air Force got jealous because the Congress took the money away from the Air Force and gave it to the Navy. So that's when they formed their Thunderbirds to do the same thing. So it was all started out to lobby congressmen to get more money for the military budget. And by the way, you know how much these air shows cost?
How much?
The $300,000 only pays for the local promotion. Each air show cost about $15 to $18 million each show.
Wow.
The Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels in 2016 had a budget of $35 million to $40 million each. And I'm sure it's a lot more now because of inflation. They do 32 shows, 32 to 35 shows. So you take somewhere between, a budget like $40 or $50 or $60 million divided by 32, it's at least $10 million a show, probably closer to $20 million a show, plus the $300,000 that we're paying for. So all I could say, if anyone thinks this is a great idea, just think of that Bible story where the brother Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of soup, or where the Romans gave up their democracy so they could get free entertainment at the gladiator game. So anyway, that's we'll talk about that. And I went long. libertyandprosperity.com, meeting 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's Cafe in Summers Point.
Okay, Seth. Thanks a lot. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity. And, of course, the website, libertyandprosperity.com. I'm John DeMasi, and it's Talk with a Purpose, Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.